Hey, this is Jay.
And Aaron.
And Richard.
And we're the VCR kids. We watch movies from our childhood and we see if they still hold up. We decided to do another round robin this time, and we let Aaron pick a movie. So Aaron, would you like to introduce this film
yes.
to the audience?
Yes, I would. This movie is called The Secret Garden, and there have been many versions of it, but this one comes from 1993.
Okay.
That's Holly with a squeak toy. I'm so sorry. There are animals in our secret garden.
This is based on a book, right?
Yes, I believe so. It's like a British tale.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my parents, or at least my mom, tried to get us to read this and then watch the movie. But I think that she tried to make us watch the older one. I don't remember anything about the trailer we just watched at all.
So. Dame Maggie Smith is in it. I think she's the most famous person. I don't know if like any other of those actors like got more famous or anything like that.
Me either.
Well, the only thing I was going to talk about or mention was Maggie Smith. And Aaron already mentioned it. I don't know anything about this movie. So I do like gardens.
Yeah.
So that's so, something.
Do you want me to give you like the setup of the movie?
Well, I think
I think that we'll probably see it when we watch it, right? And then we'll talk about what it is.
So. Yeah, and we watched the trailer just now, so I kind of get the gist of it.
Yeah, it's like a period piece. But it's kind of for kids, you know, like if you like watching like period,
it's like Black Beauty.
No, cause there's no talking animals. Like they,
what are you talking about? They talked about, they can talk to animals in the trailer.
They just pretend it. And like, it shows the robin just like looking at her and then she like pretends with her imagination to talk to him. But it's not like, she's like, oh, you'll be my friend, won't you? Thanks for showing me the way. That's like all it is. They don't talk. And there's no CGI. Like when I was a kid, I had this in a box set with a little princess. So it was both of these together. But I remember you guys hated the CGI that they put in a little princess. And this one does not have any of that. So.
Oh, yeah. I remember that CGI. It was ridiculous.
That I know of, that I can recall. But I remember when I was a kid being a little creeped out by like her cousin that she finds in the room. They gave that away in the trailer. Like, I don't know what creeped me out about it. It just like creeped me out. Maybe it's because he's like super pale or something. I don't know. Like he looked like he was about to die.
Yeah. Was that like a more, it's going to be a really dumb comment. Question. Is that like a more common thing? Like people just bedridden through their childhood? Or does that still happen today?
I don't think so. You'll have to watch the movie, like, because it kind of explains what's going on. So
it had to be kind of, it had to be more common than it is now, right?
Sure.
I mean, like, there's kids who are in the hospital now for a long time, but
it's just because they're like super rich. So then he just, like, gets to live in bed all day and has servants. And his dad, like, is nowhere to be found.
Oh. You don't think he has, like, polio or anything?
No, I know what's going on because I've seen the movie, but I don't want to give it away.
Oh, okay. Well, this movie actually is pretty well rated on, like, IMDb and the like. It's in the 70 percentage range.
Ooh.
73, 74. So hopefully it won't be like one of the ones Aaron picks that's just a stinker.
You might find it a little bit boring. I'm not sure. It's not really your jam because you don't like Pride and Prejudice and you don't like any of that kind of period drama.
I don't dislike them. You're putting words in my mouth here. I just don't seek them out to go and watch them. But if I watch it, I'm not like, oh, this is terrible. But
see, I can't get enough. I'm like, more.
That's how I feel about the Mighty Ducks.
The director for this movie, I can't even pretend to say her first name, but her last name is Holland. Mm-hmm. She went on to do a 2011 movie, In Darkness, that was nominated for Best Foreign Language Film at the Oscars. So looks like she's done some pretty good work.
That's not normal for us.
Didn't we just see Jurassic Park? That's well received.
Yeah. But we were like, we're doing this and we know it doesn't exactly match, but like we want to watch a good movie. Like that's what we did with that one. That's what we did.
Hey, wasn't a little Princess was Alfonso Cuarón, right?
Yeah, that's
true. Didn't he win an Oscar?
See, mm-hmm. These movies I pick that have actual good directors and you guys hate them.
No. What was that horse movie that you mentioned?
Yeah, Aaron. You can't say that, so all these movies, when like there's been one that's been okay.
Two?
We don't know. We haven't seen this one yet. Let me, every time you remind me of like the Little Princess, I'm going to remind you of The Last Unicorn.
That's so good.
What?
I still kind of like it. I don't know.
No.
That movie was so bad. Wolves are jumping.
That was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, and Black Beauty. Awful.
Looks like it also did well at the box office, I guess. $31 million. I can't imagine this movie cost too much to make. But
okay, so there is a 2020 version that just came out, which IMDb gives 5.5 stars. There's also an 87 version, which IMDb gives 7.2 stars. And there's a 49 version, which it gets 7.5 stars. So we're not watching the best one here, according to IMDb ratings.
I think all classic films just kind of get a higher score. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, how many times do you need to remake a movie? Like,
it's just like a classic.
How many times do you need to tell the same story?
Yeah, it honestly seems like the 87 to 93 gap was a little bit like
6 years.
Yeah, like why? Like I kind of get like 93 to 2020. Like that's a large chunk. Though I don't really, because why do we keep rebooting everything?
Well, there's a pretty simple answer to that. It's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
But this movie did decent. It had a budget of $18 million and grossed $31 million. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know if it even came out in theaters. I just remember having it on like the V. Oh, okay.
Because it grossed $31 million in the theaters.
Oh, okay. All right. Office. I don't know. I mean, where was it filmed? Is it like a BBC UK film? Because it could have just come out in England.
Yeah. A guy just had like a trailer and a projector just went. Bumbling about.
You don't know. There's a movie in Japan that's out right now that I want to see, and I can't see it because it's not here.
What?
Distribution rights get complicated. If it was filmed in the UK, who knows, is what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Well, any other thoughts you guys have?
Not a single thought.
Okay, well, I'm going to like it, I think.
The best situation we can have here is that it's a great movie and we all walk away like, oh, this is pleasant. But for me, another really good situation is if it's terrible, like The Mummy. we try and convince Aaron it's terrible, and she's just not ready to listen to it.
Is Did Brendan Twitter Fraser is he in this? Brendan Fraser?
No, he's not. Did Twitter have anything to say about the mummy yet?
No, no one talks to us.
Ugh. Where are the fans? I need adoration. No, I'm just kidding.
Calvin.
No, I'm just kidding. I was still just thinking about old movies, and so I was pretending to be like a film star.
No, it's fine, Aaron. Like, everyone in a way wants adoration. You know, it's fine.
Until they actually get it.
And then it's like really good and they can't stop.
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, maybe. All right, ready to go watch this movie?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, we are going to go watch The Secret Garden, a cool 141 or hour 41 minutes, and we'll talk to y'all in a minute. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hello, everyone. It is Jay here, your humble host, talking to you at the mid-roll of the episode. Listen, we all have a whole lot going on because we're all staying inside every day, and every day is starting to look exactly like the last one. So if you're in the same boat, then let us know on Twitter at the VCR Kids. Let us know if you have any movies that you want us to do. I know a lot of people have more time to catch up on stuff since there's not as many events going on and things like that. So if there's a movie that you're kind of like, I liked that when I was a kid, I don't know if I'll still like it, but I'm too afraid to commit the hour and a half to 3 hours to watch it. So I'll let the VCR Kids do it for me first. Let us know. We'd love to test drive it for you. We are 145 movies in, still rocking and rolling, going strong. So let us know if you have any ideas. And if you have any ideas for our 200th episode, that's coming up not soon, like a year. So stew on it for a year and then let us know. And we could do some cool stuff. Listen, this movie was very interesting. I'm really curious everyone's thoughts. If you've seen this movie recently, it's on HBO Max right now, probably because the remake just came out on HBO Max. But if you've seen it, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this one specifically. Especially, I want to know specifically if you saw it as a kid and then if you like it now. And I want to know like how those two interact with each other. Because we have a lot of thoughts on it and a lot of things we thought about it. Oh, also, I guess if you read the book too. So maybe I'll put a poll up on Twitter when this comes out. I am really curious. So please let us know. Again, we're at the VCR Kids. You can also let us know on Instagram, Facebook. We're at the VCR Kids. We'd love to hear from you. And other than that, let you get back to the episode. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody, we just finished watching The Secret Garden. Maybe Aaron's favorite movie we've ever watched for this podcast.
I don't know about that, but I enjoyed it.
Any kind of general thoughts before we kick off this synopsis?
I think what I told Richard, I sent a text message. I said, this movie is about feral children just running around in the Gilded Age. Because their parents like could not be bothered. Like that's all this is.
That's pretty accurate. I mean the feral part might be a little much, but like
no, absolutely not. The girl, she's so feral. Like when she first gets to that house.
What are you talking about? Feral? She's like, I can't be dressed. I have all the servants do it for me.
She's rude.
There's nothing feral about that.
She doesn't know how to like do her hair. She doesn't know how to get dressed. She just is like do it, and she's like
right because she's
rude.
Spoiled and other people do it for her. I don't think you know what feral means.
Yeah, I just
Jim is a spoiled cat.
Hyperbole.
I was about to say I just Google searched feral children on Google Image.
No,
and
I know I'm using it as a hyperbole.
Don't try this at home, listeners. Yeah.
There really are some feral children that I don't know what they're doing. One said he was raised by monkeys. One said she was raised by wolves.
Wow.
They need all psychological right. counseling at this point.
The thing that I kept on thinking of watching this was, this with a few tweaks could have been a horror movie. Like, yeah, this could have easily been one.
Have you seen Jane Eyre?
I'm very familiar with it, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like the kids' version of Jane Eyre.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me, and this has been a long time. This came out in 2001, and I haven't seen it since. But The Others, like creepy children in an old house, and things are very atmospheric. And, you know, I was like, a few tweaks, and this could have been something like The Others.
Yeah, I think it, like, when we kind of heard some of the moans, like, Jay looked at me, and it was like, or she was, like, walking around. He looked at me, and she was literally about to figure it out, so I didn't say anything. He's like, are there other people in this house? Are there other people in this house that we haven't seen yet? There are other people in this house. Like, he was very invested. And he's going to say he wasn't, but, like, I'm telling you right now, his tone was concerned. And then I didn't say anything. And he was like, why aren't you saying anything?
I wasn't concerned. I was confused because they only ever showed that one woman. And then there's, like, screaming. And it's like, what is going on here? This movie starts out with the girl whose name I don't remember.
Mary.
Mary. Of course, how could I forget? Mary, quite contrary. She is in India because I think we mentioned this in the first part of this episode, but the author, this is the same author as A Little Princess, who apparently loved India and loved being a British person colonizing India, because that's also featured in this movie. Then her parents die.
Yeah.
What?
Didn't end well for them in this movie.
Well, yeah. But also, we barely see anything of India other than her just getting dressed by servants.
And the party in which her parents die.
We didn't even see a party. She was in the room and then they came in and they're like, ho, 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 ho.
Yeah, because they were having a party in the courtyard. Like, and they made her stay in her room. Like, she was locked up in her room. So she could, like, see them and watch the party. Like, she saw that boy prince come in on the elephant, and everyone was like, ooh. And then her parents died. And then she said, like, in the intro, my parents had parties, and I wasn't allowed to go, but I could watch them from my room. So that's what was going on.
Yeah, I don't think they portray anybody in this movie. Like, the first half of the movie, I was like, I don't like any of these characters. So I don't think they portray these people as good people, like, that are colonizers, right? Like, the parents are aloof and don't care about the children. This girl's a brat and is entitled.
She doesn't know how to cry.
Right. She won't.
She never learned.
And, like, even when she gets to England, like, the Maggie Smith's character, Medlock, she's...
Matlock?
Someone. She's rude. Like, she's just mean and, like, antagonistic. And I'll get more into her later, but she's mean.
Oh, I don't know. You could probably get into her right now because she shows up at the whatever station to pick her up or something.
Yeah, I mean,
she's... The station of of orphans.
Right? Yeah, you can tell she's, like, rude and doesn't care. But I think, like, she almost acts like it's a bother that she had to get this child, even though, like, the child is probably alone and terrified waiting at the train station, and
it's a boat that they came over.
Okay, so
it was like a boat full of kids who were getting picked up.
Yeah, because their parent because they were orphans from the India earthquake. So it was like, so she knows this child's parents have just died, and then, like, she just kind of launches into this, like, we don't have time for you kind of tirade.
It's a weird earthquake that only took parents of children.
I'm sure it took more people. It's just those were the children of colonists and their relatives were back in India. So they had to do something with them. So they are back in England, not in India. So they had to do something with them. So they just organized those children to be on a boat to get picked up by their relatives.
And all those children were terrible. They gave Mary the business, singing about, like, how awful she is, and which she is awful, but now they're awful. Like I said, the first part of this movie, I was just like, oh, these people, can't stand them. So
yeah. And then
yeah, and she's, like, abusive towards like her like servant who's like, first of all, she's like, excuse me, lady, I'm not going to dress myself. That's for the servants to do. Right. And then she sends her a servant and she like beats her up and is like, you're not dressing me.
Yeah. I feel like
it's like, don't dress me. It's like, what do you want, girl?
I feel like when they were in India, they maybe treated their servants very poorly, almost like, yeah, I don't know about it, but it just seems like from her attitude about it, they treated them very poorly. The child, like, you can't slap people.
Well, you could in England back in the day, apparently.
Yes, yeah.
But then we get to her, I don't know, quote unquote servant. I can't remember her name.
Martha.
And I texted y'all this because it's so bizarre to tickle someone the first time you meet them.
Yeah.
Because then I was like, well, I don't like this character either. She's weird as hell.
Oh, I thought that text was about Armageddon.
No, yeah, she's a weird character that would like, but she doesn't do it again. I guess she kind of realizes Mary has some boundary issue, like, don't touch me, and kind of thought.
Well, a little bit later, she's like, most kids would have kissed me. So she wanted to kiss the next time they really hung out. I was like, she's got issues, man. Like,
I don't know. I don't know.
Kissing me. And then much later on, we have some cousins with kissiness. There was something underlying going on throughout this movie.
In the day, like, rich families especially definitely did not think it was that weird to like marry their cousins.
Well, I'm not back then. So
yeah, I'm just saying back then, like now you're kind of like, but like that's how it was. So,
right. Wow, Aaron.
So accept it, Richard.
Aaron's giving context to a movie. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and like,
since you chose to care about this one. Yeah.
And
so,
whatever. And like, when they were like, I want to marry you, Jay was like, and I was like, it doesn't. I used to tell that to, like, when I was like little, I used to make pacts with my guy friends, like, we're going to be married.
How'd that work out?
I didn't marry any of them, obviously, but it's just like a silly, and like, it didn't change anything. I wasn't like, it was just like, what? I don't know. It was just silly. Just something kids do.
Well, it's obvious why you like this movie. Like, when I was a kid, I loved Armageddon because an asteroid was going to destroy the Earth. And I thought that was awesome. And I was watching this, I was like, oh, a girl gets her secret garden. And I was trying to put myself in that perspective. And I was like, that does sound so delightful.
Yeah.
So.
We're trying to make a garden out of this barren mud patch out back. It's going to take a while.
It's going to be fine. She eventually meets the boy who, I guess, he's like kind of a groundskeeper.
Oh, no. Okay, so he's Martha's little brother. So he just kind of like runs amok and like, because he's too young to have a real job. So he kind of just like hangs with the animals and goes to play. Like, his family's all working and he's too young to have a job. So he just goes out to play on the moors with the animals. So he just.
And he has a raven.
Yeah, he has a raven. He's kind of like very nature boy. Like, that's why I said he's kind of feral too. Like, they're all kind of feral, but he's like, he just is more wild. Like, he
need to stop calling things feral.
I mean, he was a pretty normal boy, Aaron.
Yeah, but he just has like this connection with the wild, like, and being outdoors, and he knows a lot about nature and like.
Well, there was a moment, this is much later in the movie, where they're dancing around a fire, mm-hmm. and I got some like Lord of the Flies vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And Renee's really getting into witch stuff right now, and I was like, mm-hmm. Renee, look at this, these children, I told, just a little tweak and this could be a horror movie.
It so. Could mm-hmm. I think this was like when spiritualism was like really, really popular, right? Like, people were having like seances and stuff, so that was like pretty tame. Like, if you think about it in like the time period, that's like really nothing. Like, that wouldn't be weird at all. Like, Arthurian legends were getting really popular at this time, and seances were getting really popular at this time. And so I think that was just like so out there in their thought process that like, that's not weird. But nowadays you're like, what the heck are they doing?
All right. We have completely skipped over the big secret that there's a creepy little vampire boy living in this house.
Yeah. So okay.
That's my theory about this movie, Richard, is that the dad is a vampire and then he had a vampire spawn, and the magic that they performed broke the curse of his vampirism because he was completely in the shadows or in the dark or covering himself every time he was outside until he saw that ding dang boy walking around.
You know, my theory was that because the father looks like, in my opinion, a musketeer. I feel like he just wandered onto this set and they're like, that's the father, because he just seems so out of place in this movie.
Yeah. So how do I explain? Okay, so the thing about it is Mary's mom and Colin's mom, her cousin, who's trapped in the bed.
They're twins. We know. We saw the movie.
Yeah. Well, the listeners didn't know that. And there's an important note I have to make about it. Mary looks a lot like her mom. But Colin does not look like his mom. So when the uncle sees Mary, he is spooked because she looks so much like his late wife. And like and Colin says, like, my dad never wants to look at me because I don't look like my mom. But he visits him at night when he's sleeping, which is weird.
Because he's a vampire.
Yeah.
I'm so down for that theory. I'm down.
But then I guess it unnerves him. So like he's never dealt with his grief, I guess, is the point of this, that he just leaves. He's like, I'm out. Like, he doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. So then,
well, he's never there. It wasn't just there. Like, he only comes like once every month for like a couple days.
Yeah. But even then he was like, I'm not coming back for a few months. Like, he just like dips, like he's gone.
Well, his whole thing, I mean, he has a good reason, like his wife dies and then his child is this sickly thing. And he's just like, I'm done with it. I was watching it, though. I was like, God, imagine living at a place where, like, what were there, 8 people waiting on them? More than that.
Yeah.
It's like, why would you leave that? I would just enjoy being, I don't know, waited on, like, you know, by a bunch of people.
Well, he acts like he's like super busy and doing all this important stuff. But the only time we see him outside of the house is when he has that like dream and he wakes up and he's just like chilling in a hotel lobby.
In Paris. Yeah, in Paris.
Like, so busy, so important.
Yeah, he's just a lord. Really, he just gets to do whatever the heck he wants while his tenants make him money on his land. That's it. I guess. But yeah, they live on the moors. So like it's a creepy backdrop when she gets there in winter. In spring it's nice because there's like baby animals and flowers and stuff. But when she gets there, it's creepy. But so her cousin is confined to the bed in part because he's a brat and like refuses to help himself. Also in part because Medlock, Maggie Smith's character, has kind of like drilled it into his head, like, you're so sick, you can't get up, we have to treat you like you're fragile. And she won't let people in to see him, she won't let him open the windows, like, but he also, like, that's the only kind of attention he gets, I guess, is when he like freaks out about being sick. So he just like screams and cries and says he doesn't feel well all the time. So it's kind of like this cycle of, like, you know. And then he's been bedridden since he was a baby, so he can't walk because he's like literally never used his legs.
Yeah, we definitely get one of like the greatest like freakouts by an actor. Like when they put down or they took off the boards from the windows,
mm-hmm.
and he starts freaking out. That was like a minute and a half of that actor freaking out. And yeah, I was like, wow.
And I really liked it when Mary's like, he's so spoiled, he's got to be stopped. Someone needs to make him stop. I was like, oh, you tell him. And all the servants are like, yeah, we should probably listen to her. Like all the help. They're like, yeah, we need to make him stop. Like, and she makes him stop. So. And he keeps saying he's going to die. He's like, I'm going to get a lump on my back and then I'm going to die. Like, he's so dramatic.
I mean, that's what he's been told his whole life.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know exactly. And, like, even when... So then he starts ordering them to let him go outside. Like, I'm going to take my chair. I'm going to go out and you're going to leave me alone. And they all start going in the garden together because Mary finds it. And then Dickon helps her, like, spruce it up, essentially. And they plant a bunch of new things. And
oh, it's spruced up. Like, that's the best looking garden I've seen.
Yeah, it's such a good garden.
Well, you haven't seen ours yet.
Like, it's very lush. Like, they kind of worked with how overgrown it was. And, yeah, it's been nice. But, so they spruce it up. They make it look amazing. And then they take him to it. And he starts, like, learning how to stand and walk and run and play. And, like, the fresh air is really doing him good. And then Maggie Smith's character is like, nope, you're going back in the bed. You're out. You're act like this is too out of control. Like, she's convinced he's going to die, even though he's like actually learning to walk again and stuff.
Yeah.
And then the dad comes back.
Okay.
Right. When crap hits the fan.
That's where you're all wondering if your sentence was done.
Yeah.
I just was wondering if you had any input.
You missed the part where the robin shows her the way.
Which yeah, you were worried.
Was
there
delightful.
Yeah, you were like worried there was going to be like talking animals and stuff. I was like, no, I think they just like pretend like the robin is like sentient or something.
Oh no, that robin is definitely sentient, 100%.
Like, but he's just like a nice little guy.
Oh, and then you had Dickens at some point eat a worm. And I didn't like
that. Yeah,
that
was, I didn't like that either. And he stared at you when we did it. I was like, no, thanks.
That was the best part. So then they cast this, they do this magic spell.
Yeah.
And the dad has a dream and he leaves his posh 5-star establishment.
Yeah.
The dream is to run home to the garden.
Yeah. The dream is his dead wife saying, I'm in the garden with Colin. And then he, like, goes back.
But it was wrong. She's not there. Because she's dead.
Well, her spirit's there. Her energy's there. She is the garden, Jay.
Don't like that.
It's true.
Wait. Is that she's the garden?
I mean, like, in a way. You know, like, her spirit is in the garden, like... She helps bring them together because she was like the truly out of this lot of parents. It sounds like she was the only loving one because Mary's parents sucked. Colin's dad took off as soon as she died. But it seemed like she really cared for her child. It's just like she only got like a week with him or something. And then she died on the swing.
Did she die on the swing? I thought that was established that she died in childbirth.
Yeah, I think that was like a rumor that she died on the swing. And they were like, yeah, they said it in the movie.
Oh,
I thought, no, she definitely died giving birth.
I thought that he said that that's what he was told. And Mary was like, well, I was told this other thing. And then it was just kind of left at that.
Oh, there was also, speaking of her, her portrait, whatever painting is mm-hmm. up in his room. And he says that she smiles too much. And even the little girl, I like that, where she's like, how can someone smile too much? You're a creepy little pale thing.
Yeah. She's so mean to him. They're so mean to each other. Like, he's mean to her. She's mean to him. She's like, I'm going to leave. And he's like, you can't. I'll order them to drag you back in. So she's like, fine, I'll sit here and I'll stare at the floor. And I'll just look at the floor and I won't even look at you or talk to you. It's like, dang, like, don't try and outmove the girl that clearly has all the power moves from throwing, like, attention-seeking tantrums at her parents all the time in India, you know?
Yeah. This also touched on a few things that were traumatic, I guess, not only from my childhood, for probably a lot of people's. There's a scene where the mom leaves and the little girl, she's really young, is crying.
Oh, yeah, that was her nightmare dream.
I've had that experience before. Of course, my mom didn't leave me. I just interpreted it as that, and it was like me crying. She broke the little elephant, ivory elephant thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember really young, I brought my mom a plant and got pissed and like killed the plant and then cried uncontrollably for the rest of the day that I had killed something, you know, that I couldn't control my emotions. So while watching this, I was like, oh, this taps into like, I think kind of, you know, universal experiences as a child.
Yeah, like she
not just too strong, mom.
Yeah, Jay, when she ran out of the garden, Jay was like, why is she running away? Like, why did she say no one wants me? And I was like, well, she has abandonment issues. Because like,
no, it was because they were not paying attention to her for 5 seconds.
Yeah, I was like, she has
no one wants me.
Because she has like abandonment issues, and this is like a transition, and she wasn't acknowledged, and she couldn't, like, she needs security because she's been like literally abandoned by everyone in her life.
Well, that is one of the things I liked about the end of this movie. It's like, these people still have issues. Like, yeah. This didn't really resolve everything.
No, they have a lot of work to do, but now they can like do it together instead of like,
yeah,
trying to go it alone and being miserable.
Yeah. I felt, man, being in bed for that long, basically your whole life, how do you not just have bed sores and your bones turn into like,
yeah, that's rubber? Why they had that weird machine that they put on his legs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure that he probably had stuff and that kept making them think he was sickly. And then Mary was like, no, we're getting out of here. And his condition like drastically improved once he started going out.
Yeah.
So... spores. They talk about spores a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of mask usage in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do, because they're concerned he's so sickly, they all have to wear them.
It was very, it was triggering.
Yeah, it was weird watching those little parts back now.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, but I said, in defense of all them calling the masks silly and saying they're itchy and they want to rip them off, it's because it's all like a farce because he's not really sick and there's no such thing as spores. So that's the difference.
What are you talking about? There's definitely such a thing as spores. Okay,
not in the way that they're talking about them. They're saying that they're going to infect his lungs and he's going to die, which if you have like mold everywhere, that might be true, but you're not going to get like spores like that from the
fresh air. Did you see parts of that castle, like that
manor
hallway that she was going through? There was definitely mold. Thing is so old and gross, and like, well,
that makes the case where they need to open the windows. The spores aren't coming from the outside.
It made me think, like, you know how the 1990s were all about slime and ooze? Maybe like turn of the century back then was all about spores.
Oh no, remember that spiritualism I was talking about? Yeah. They had ectoplasm. That's when they invented the ooze. So there's none of that in this movie, but there could have been.
No, there was just vampires.
So I'm not ready for, did it hold up? Because as we heard in the intro, I never saw this thing before. But I'm ready to give my
look. Yeah. What did you think?
I thought it was good, Aaron. Mm-hmm. But this was a boring movie. Mm-hmm. This was a boring movie. It was good and well shot, and I thought the kid actors were good. Maggie Smith's obviously great. Like, everything's great. But it was boring. Like, I fell asleep halfway through this movie. And not because it was bad. I was just, like, lulled to sleep because there's gardens and privileged white children and all this other stuff that just, I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, I it looks really great. Like, the direction is great. Right, like it looks amazing. Everyone acts super well. They found somehow like 3 kid actors who did great, as opposed to like some movies you can't even find one. But it's just like nothing important happened. Like, I don't care at all about spoiled rich white kids' problems, like, because they're not loved enough when they're treating everyone around them like crap. it was just so much like, yeah, is nothing happening in this movie.
I liked it. See, I love period movies. And this, like, as a girl, like, her finding that secret garden was, like, the coolest thing ever. And, like, I wanted one. But I was, like, watching it again. And I was, like, man. Because, okay, like, thinking about this, like, when this was going on in England, I feel like at the same time we had, like, cowboys and stuff going on in the United States. Like, what a difference.
Yeah, way more exciting.
Yeah, like, what a difference. Like, England was, and then also, like, for a while, like, England and France and, like, countries in Europe were obsessed with, like, going into nature and being part of nature and connecting with, like, the earth and the sky and, like, yada yada. But all their nature was fake. Like, humans, like, did every single bit of it. Like, it's all garden and manicured because it's just smaller areas. You know, there's no, like, real wilderness. So... like even when you look, when they showed some like zoomed out shots of like the moors that are supposed to be wild, and you can clearly see like where they've like sectioned it off for like farmland and so.
Well, I think that's mostly true. I mean, I think this was like 2 decades removed from like Jack the Ripper. I'm sure London was kind of a hole in certain parts, so it wasn't all sunshine and nature.
No, I know, but they're because these are like wealthy people we're dealing with here. That's what I'm saying. Like, that seems to be a theme of like rich people. Like, Marie Antoinette built herself a little garden thing with like sheep, and she used to want to be in nature. It's like, well, that's not, it's not nature. So
it just seems like there's not any like, I mean, there's like everyone is kind of dealing with their own little conflicts, but there's not like an overarching like conflict in the movie. Like, everyone, like, even the servants are like each dealing with their own little like conflicts, but there's not like one kind of thing that's tying the whole movie together. Like, it feels like the character development is great, and like even the dad is dealing with his own stuff, but it feels more like an episode of a TV show where like, you know, something is going to happen that ties the whole thing together. And there just was, it's just, I don't know.
So I think that
why did this get made like 4 times?
I don't know. I think the Medlock character was supposed to be like the overarching plot line. Like, she interferes in all their lives, like the servants, like, cause she's taking control of the house and like, she's in charge, and she like, to have her way. So like, Jay was saying, like, he asked me a question. I was like, well, the guy's never home, so this woman is just left to run amok, but I think is left alone in the house, but I think she likes it that way because she just like does whatever she wants. And like, they even made comments like, Mrs. Medlock said if there was a woman of the house, she'd never be able to do all the stuff she does. It's like, oh, okay. So, but the thing is, we don't get that many scenes with her interacting with people. Like, she's just not in it that much. Like, I could, like, maybe five or six times she does. There was a lot more shots of them like sneaking around the house, like going into the garden. So I think that's what it was supposed to be, and they just didn't shoot that many scenes of it.
I think this is also maybe something kind of like a little bit different if you're watching it now, like for the first time, because for me, it's hard for me to see Professor McGonagall as like the pure bad guy. Like, yeah, she's strict with people, but she's really the best one of all of them, right? Like, so maybe that's just like, because she like talks the same as Professor McGonagall, like she dresses the same as Professor McGonagall. Like,
yeah, okay, now thinking about it, because this author wrote A Little Princess also, right? If you think about...
She just doesn't like matronly characters.
Yeah, think about the headmistress. That woman was just awful, just a nightmare. So, but I don't think this character was quite this, like, not as evil, you know?
Well, I mean, I think the obvious one for me was, like, seeing her character act like that and be, like, you know, the help, whereas... I'm used to her in Downton Abbey being like Lady Crawley.
Oh, and right, yeah.
On the opposite side of things. So that was a little jarring to get used to. So.
Yeah. I think like, I was like, does she Munchausen's by a proxy. No, I don't think this is serious. And like, it's not, I don't think it's severe enough for that. But like, I don't know what she's doing. Like, it just, it's definitely not ethical the way she's like handling all of this. But I don't know that it's like malicious intention.
Well, she's, I mean, she's following the orders of the father, right? Because he came home and the kid was just out of bed and he lost his mind. She's following his orders.
I don't know.
They saw, because they were looking eye to eye. She was following his direction and he's like the head of the manor.
I don't know though, because like they, sorry, someone's like driving a car with these really weird bright lights.
Oh no.
She says like it's basically up to her to do everything. I think I think what it is she just like tells the dad he's so sick, and then she has like the doctors in town going like, "Yes, so sick, so sick." And then the dad's like, "Well, you have to take care of him. You have to fix him. You're in charge. You have to do it." And she's like, "Oh, okay, we'll fix him. He's so sick." Like, I feel like that's kind of what's, but they could have made it more clear, you know, like if she's kind of pulling the wool over people, do you know what I'm saying? Or
the thing I really got from this movie, to be honest with you, is I really want to visit Yorkshire because it's beautiful. Like,
yeah,
that apparently that's the filming location for this movie. Mm-hmm. And there were shots where I was like, man, that is gorgeous.
Yeah, they're on the moors, the English moors. Legendary. Like, they pulled up and I was like, oh, this is like Hound of the Baskervilles creepy house. Like, yikes. But by the end, when it's springtime, it's all beautiful. So, go in spring.
All right, well, you can check out this movie if you're interested. I don't know. It was kind of boring, but maybe if you liked it growing up, you'll still like it like Aaron did.
I liked it.
But yeah, we rented it on iTunes. I think that's probably somewhere to watch it. I don't even know what words I'm saying right now. I've fallen asleep from talking about this movie.
No.
Well, according to like, this is supposed to be on HBO Max, but it didn't show up. So I don't know. Huh. I had to rent it as well. Wait,
that is where we watched it, didn't we?
I don't know.
We watched it on HBO Max, I think.
Is the new Secret? They just released a new one, and I was like, what? Why?
The reviews on that, not so good. So
the new one?
Yeah.
The new one? Yeah. I guess we'll see. Maybe not. I don't know.
I'm not going to see. No. I've done my part.
I might
part.
Give it a try just to see how it compares now that we've watched this one.
All right. Well, we will talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Shoulder.
Cats.
Radio.
Ah!